From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Thursday, April 4th, and here are today's headlines. State regulators yesterday unanimously approved a request from Copley Hospital to raise its rates after the institution said it was facing a $3 million budget shortfall. Green Mountain Care Board Chair Owen Foster said the financial situation for the Lamoille County Hospital was dire enough to warrant a rare mid-year price increase.
This is a hospital that we are worried about. 39, 45 days cash on hand is very low.
Copley was asking for an almost 13% price increase on its services, but the board gave them 7% instead. The hospital has been losing money every year since 2016, outside of the COVID funding it received during the pandemic. Several other Vermont hospitals are also facing significant budget problems. Governor Phil Scott yesterday vetoed legislation banning the sale of flavored tobacco and vaping products in Vermont. Backers of the bill said it would help discourage young people from becoming addicted to tobacco. But Scott described the bill as hypocritical because Vermont allows the sale of flavored alcohol and cannabis products. He read part of his veto letter during a press conference in Montpelier.
I've found people lose faith in government when policies have these types of inconsistencies because they contradict common sense. Furthermore, from a purely practical point of view, these products will continue to be widely available just across the river in New Hampshire and through online sales.
The bill's sponsors say they'll try to secure the votes to override Scott's veto in the coming weeks, but the bill did not pass either the House or Senate with veto-proof majorities. Many schools and child care centers will close Monday in anticipation of the total solar eclipse, leaving parents to figure out plans during the event itself. And getting a child to properly wear eclipse glasses might be a difficult task. Yesterday, on Vermont Edition, educator Elizabeth Knuckles shared some tips for parents and caregivers. She's the senior education manager at the Echo Leahy Center, the science museum in Burlington.
It's important to have that conversation that the sun can damage your eyes, and it's very important to be wearing the glasses if you're going to be looking at the sun. I like to give the kids, especially very young kids, the choice. You do not need to look at the sun, but if you're going to look at the sun, you need to have this protection on your eyes.
For kids who can't or won't wear eclipse glasses, Knuckles suggests some alternatives, like cutting off the arms of the glasses and gluing them onto a paper plate to make a mask. The Vermont Senate has approved a bill intended to support the state's youngest readers. The legislation would require the Agency of Education to approve universal reading screeners for Vermont schools and to screen students in kindergarten through third grade for learning differences like dyslexia. The bill would also bolster reading interventions for students, create a system for parent notification, and set up a reporting system for performance data. Chittenden Central Senator Martine LaRocque-Gulick is sponsoring the legislation.
It's not just about teachers not having the right strategies to teach, but not even in the first place learning the proper ways of teaching literacy.
That bill now goes to the House. And coming up in a moment, more about literacy as we hone in on the finest writing the Green Mountain State has to offer, announcing the finalists for this year's Vermont Book Awards right after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Calling all bibliophiles because it's that special time of year when the Vermont Book Awards finalists are announced. The Vermont Book Awards honor outstanding local work in fiction, creative nonfiction, poetry, and children's literature. Past winners include former Vermont cartoonist laureate Allison Bechtel, poet Major Jackson, and visual artist and author Shanta Lee, to name just a few. It's been a long-standing tradition to announce the finalists on Morning Edition. Why does the name of that show sound so familiar? Anyway, host Jen Jarecki recently sat down with Micaiah Bay Galt, a writer and faculty member of the Vermont College of Fine Arts, which oversees the awards, with Vermont Humanities and the State Department of Libraries.
Okay, Micaiah, before we dive in, what sets this year's finalists apart?
I guess the thing that I'm seeing that's so interesting is that there are such powerhouses in this pool. This year, there are National Book Award winners. There are National Book Award finalists. There are Pulitzer Prize finalists. You know, it's just like, I mean, they're geniuses. You know, we just get to live here in Vermont amid these brilliant talents. And I love that we're honoring them in this way. But what I also love is that these are our neighbors. These writers who are such geniuses are the people we run into at the grocery store or see on the sidelines at our kids' soccer games. We're so lucky to live in Vermont amid all this talent.
Micaiah, will you walk us through how this whole process works? You touched on it a little bit, but how does it work from first being considered to ultimately winning a Vermont Book Award?
The books are nominated by independent booksellers and librarians of Vermont. Publishers can also nominate. And I do open up the nominations every year for a few weeks to the general public so readers can nominate. And actually, we do see nominations pouring in. This is a state full of people who care passionately about literature. So once the books are nominated, then they're passed along to a team of judges. The judges, this panel of judges, changes every year. It's made up of writers, professors, booksellers, librarians, arts admin, just a really dedicated group of people who take the work really seriously. So they'll read the nominated books. They're tasked with choosing three or four finalists in each category. And then ultimately, they'll have to narrow down those finalists to one winner. I'll announce the finalists today, but then we won't know the winner until the big Vermont Book Award celebration, which happens on May 4th.
What might surprise listeners about this year's finalists?
What I love about this year's group is that there are these revered writers in the mix, and then there are debut writers. This is, you know, someone's first book, and they're being considered in the same group together. You know, just I love the way the judges treat the process with such respect and reverence. You know, they're really reading to sort of see what is beautiful, what is innovative, what is really working about these books. So to see debut writers in the same pile as people, you know, like literary royalty, I don't know how else to say it, you know, that's what's really amazing to me.
Okay, I know. I've kept folks waiting long enough. So, Micaiah, who are this year's Vermont Book Awards finalists?
Okay. The creative nonfiction finalists are Brad Kessler for Deep North, Stories of Somali Resettlement in Vermont, Mary Ruffel for The Book, Jeff Charlotte for The Undertow, Scenes from a Slow Civil War. The fiction finalists are J. Vanessa Lyon for Lush Lives, Genevieve Plunkett for In the Lobby of the Dream Hotel, Sandra Simmons for Asia. The poetry finalists are Michael Dumanis for Creature, Vivy Francis for The Shared World, Leslie Saints for Have You Been Long Enough at Table, Ellen Bryant Voigt for Collected Poems. The children's literature finalists are Kekla Magoon for The Minus One Club, M.T. Anderson for Elf Dog and Owlhead, Kenneth Cotto for Gather, and Dan Knott for Hidden Systems.
Congratulations to all the nominees. I'm hearing some familiar names in there, some new names in there, some folks that have been featured on Vermont Public in there. So what is next for these folks, Micaiah?
So the next step is hopefully they'll hear their names on this show and they'll know their finalists. I'll reach out to them to make sure they know how to come to the awards celebration itself. And that's where we'll all gather, the judges, the finalists, everyone invested in this prize. It's such a fun night. And we will that night announce the winner in each category.
That was Micaiah Bay-Gault, who coordinates the Vermont Book Awards, speaking with Vermont Public's Jen Jarecki. The winners will be announced at the Vermont Book Awards celebration, held on Saturday, May 4th, in College Hall at the Vermont College of Fine Arts in Montpelier. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Howard Weiss-Tisman, Bob Kinzel, Michaela Lafrac, and Daniela Fierro. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.